So we have been in this 21 days of prayer. We're on day 10, and I've been able to make a good bit of them, and some of them I haven't. I've watched online some of them, and some of them I just didn't come. If I'm honest, I couldn't, or chose not to, or whatever. Other things kind of got in the way. But it has been encouraging and edifying, those times that I've been able to be a part of it. I brought my kids to two nights of the prayer. I don't know whether it was a good thing or not. Yeah, I mean, exposing my kids to the things of God and getting them around people praying in tongues. And yes. It's funny because I have a 7-year-old, almost 8. She'll be 8 next Tuesday, Karis. And then a 3-year-old, Adelie. And then, of course, my son Nolan, who is 6 weeks old now. He didn't come with me. He might be in the mother's room tonight. Hey, little buddy. He's watching back there. So we're on our way to prayer, and I'm like, okay, girls, just kind of give them some expectations. That's what I learned you have to do with your kids. You don't just take them somewhere and don't tell them what's expected of them, because you're bound to not get what you expect if you don't tell them what you're expecting. And sometimes, even if you tell them what you're expecting, you won't get what you're expecting. Probably more often than not, I don't get what I expect out of my kids. So I bring them to prayer, and I'm like, guys, listen. We're going to go in and we're going to pray. It's not going to be quiet, so I'm not going to tell you to be quiet, okay? But I am going to tell you, don't be a distraction to somebody else, okay? We're going to pray. We're going to pray in tongues. Daddy's going to pray in tongues. And I'm like, Karis, you pray in tongues? Yes, I pray in tongues. And she goes, Adelie doesn't. She doesn't pray in tongues. I'm like, yeah, that's okay. And she's like, well, I told her she can say, she can just say a bunch of random syllables. She's 3. She doesn't know what it means. But sure enough, Adelie's over there, you know, having her own language. Really cool. She may be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll never know. Don't know right now. We'll know later. She will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I confess over my kids that they're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at an early age. They follow the plan of God for their lives, all the days of their life. They're going to live a long, satisfied life. I encourage you, parents, confess the word of God over your children. Sometimes you may not see it in principle, in action. You know, sometimes they'll be watching Netflix while you're praying with headphones on, so they're not a distraction. Other times they'll actually be engaged, but never stop speaking over them the word of God. Amen? So the first night of prayer, I'm here with my kids. I do the whole routine. I'm like telling them, and I'm expecting them, man, they're going to be these great little angels, and they're going to pray, and they're just going to follow along. They're going to be good newsers, man. They're going to be like the Wednesday night crowd. This is day one, man. We're going strong. We're going to start strong.
Stay strong.
And we're going to... Okay, so I'm pumped up, man. I'm ready to go. And so, man, like 5 minutes into this prayer, I'm like, wow, why did I bring them? Because they're not distracting anybody else but me. Nobody's bothered by them, you know. Some people even think it's cute, you know, Adelie running around here, and, you know, it's cool. It's where she needs to be. It's okay, right? There's no judgment for me bringing my kids, right? Okay, well, some of you are, but we'll pray for you later. So they weren't distracting anybody but me, and I kept having to tell them, hey, because they kept speaking up and they kept speaking louder, but they weren't praying. They were being very secular in the house of God. And so I come over here, you know, and I get Adelie, and she's a little small, so I can put her in my lap, and I whisper to her, and I'm like, remember what Daddy told you, you know, you can, I'm not saying be quiet, but I'm saying don't be a distraction. Right now you're distracting me, so let's pray, you know. And so I learned the next time to bring something for them to do so that I'm not distracted by them, you know, because, you know, some kids can't pray an hour.
Right.
Frank. 1 hour. So the kids are doing everything. I was picking on Frank because of his announcement. If you didn't see it, you missed out. 1 hour, Terry, 1 hour, right, Frank? My kids are doing everything but tarrying. They're tarrying on my nerves at this moment. And so I get them close to me, and as I got them close to me and kind of whispered in their ear, the Lord spoke to me. And he was like, and he said just a couple of words. He said, proximity matters. proximity matters. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And I found that when I'm, and what I was doing, disciplining my kids in this moment, just kind of correcting them, saying, hey, this is, you're not doing what I asked you to do. Please do this, you know. What I found is that during prayer time, I wasn't yelling at my kids. I wasn't harsh with them or scolding them, probably because of this atmosphere. It's different at my house. But he said proximity matters, and the thing about it is I was whispering to my daughter, and she heard me. I said, come closer. Listen. Listen closely. Proximity matters. So I want to talk to you about that for just a moment tonight. If you would, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll put it on the screen for you, verse 20 through 22. And I've been really meditating on this and kind of soaking in this this passage a little bit and letting the Lord, you know, reveal some things to me. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my child, pay attention to what I say. And that's exactly what was taking place at prayer that night. Pay attention to what I say. Because there are times that we can hear the words that are coming out of their mouth, but not necessarily giving attention to it. Even tonight, as you're sitting there, you can be listening, but not paying attention. So that's what we say, listen closely. Lean in a little bit. If you're really interested in something, if you think there's life in it, if you think there's going to be a benefit for you, you're going to be on the edge of your seat. You're going to be leaning in. You're going to be listening closely. And so he said proximity matters. Proximity matters. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. There is power in the Word of God. Not just the written Word of God, as written in the pages of our Bible, but the spoken Word of God that the Holy Spirit speaks and utters to you during prayer time, or maybe you're not even praying, but you're just open and you've yielded yourself to Him. He can speak to you. And those words are life. They're life to those who find them. Earlier in the passage there, in verse 10, he kind of reiterates the same thing. He kind of prefaces it, and he says, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. How many of you want to live a long, good life? Long, satisfied life, the psalmist writes about. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Do you believe that about the Word of God, the Bible, and the spoken Word of God through the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that? That is the key to life? And are you behaving, if you say you believe, are you behaving in the manner in which you believe? Guard them, he says. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Guard them, for they are the key to life. I would dare say that some of us aren't guarding the words of Christ to us. I would dare say that maybe we've just been a little apathetic about the words of Christ. Maybe we're just in prayer going through the motions. And I have to admit, like when we first started prayer years ago, got kind of some crackling going on. Wisdom for them to figure that out. Just, you can give that main switch a jolt if you want to kind of fix that. I have to be honest, like years ago in prayer, I would just go through the motions. Like I was newly on staff at Good News Church and really freshly filled with the Holy Spirit. I was a noob when it came to praying in tongues. And so one day we're on, you know, they tell us, hey, this is what we do. Every Tuesday we're going to gather at noon for prayer. First of all, I'm thinking, man, that's when I go to lunch. But part of this team, part of this staff, I need to go. So I beat the flesh, right, Lindsay? Pound the flesh into submission and say, no, you're going to eat an hour later today. You're going to go to prayer. So I'm going, and I go into the prayer time, and I sit there, and I pray, and I do pray all I can do in English, and I really didn't know what I was doing praying in tongues, and I'd pray for, I don't know, maybe I got to 20 minutes before, you know, I'm leaning on the chair in front of me, and I am out. Yeah. Like making utterances, groanings, the Holy Spirit groaning through me. Oh, Jesus, okay. I don't know if they ever really knew I was sleeping because I would fake it pretty good. She probably knew. She had a word of knowledge about that. Nate's asleep. Go poke him. Don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. So going through the motions, but now you get into a moment of prayer, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, and I've learned to give attention, to pay attention, to listen closely, because I'm not just going to go through the motions. I'm not just going to go through vain repetitions, right? Let me try this one out and see if it's this. Devil, cancel you.
Hello. I think it's probably the speakers, buddy. You got that? Handheld testing, 1T, boost it up. Hallelujah. Yeah, buddy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, you guys. Now, there are some extra factors to overcome tonight when it comes to paying attention. Right? Sometimes in life, there are some distractions. And I planned all this for object illustration purposes. You knew that, right? But I'm not flustered. I believe that the Lord has a message for you tonight. He wants you to lean in a little bit. He wants you to pay attention. He wants you to, you know, yeah, we got these speakers and they can broadcast a little bit further distance. But what if I were to lower my voice to a whisper? What if we had some interference? You might have to, those of you in the back, you might want to get a little closer. You might want to lean in a little further. And if I were to whisper, if I were to go all Eddie on you, and like close talker style. Like, Amy didn't hear that, what I said to him. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll settle up later, man. So sometimes you gotta lean in, you gotta overcome some distractions and some objections. And Pastor Susie talked about this a few weeks ago when she talked about living near. You know, it's not just drawing near to God and expecting him to draw near to you, because that's seasonal, it would seem, in the scripture. And if we're honest, I think most of us in our relationships with God, we experience the roller coaster. You know, we get the thrill with God when he answers our prayer, he meets our need, and man, we're flying high, and then we come down, and you know, there's a trial that comes our way, and then we stop going to church, and then we stop serving on Team Good News because life is too busy, and then we stop reading our Bible altogether, and go into the valley. But wait a second, I saw something on TV, a televangelist, and that really got me thinking. I saw that Heaven is for Real movie, and I'm like, that's sparking something in me, so make the climb again. But our Christian life isn't meant to be lived like a roller coaster. We're supposed to live near to him, supposed to be in close proximity to him all the time. Okay, so I want you to know that when it comes to hearing God, proximity matters. We see this in play in the Old Testament in a lot of places. First of all, with Elijah. So Elijah just defeated the prophets at Mount Carmel. Okay, Jeremy Gall likes to preach on this a lot. You've heard him talk about it. So he's just defeated the prophets at Mount Carmel, and he realizes that they're out to get him. Like, he's the only one that stood for God. Really, God came through for him in an extravagant way. But he goes and hides. And we see this in 1 Kings. We put it up there on the screen. 1 Kings chapter 19. He's hiding. So Elijah's hiding. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But wait a second. The Lord was in the fire in Genesis. So surely we're going to hear the voice of the Lord through the fire, right? No. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. I think so many times we look for the Lord to speak to us in spectacular ways. But it doesn't have to be spectacular for it to be supernatural. The Lord, and even we learn this in the New Testament, this is how the Lord speaks to us. Through the inward witness. That still, small voice. Still, small voice. And so how are you going to hear a whisper if you're far in distance? How are you going to hear a gentle, still, small voice? Now, my daughter loves to, Adelie, she loves to read these Bible stories at night. And so we've started her reading this like little princess Bible book, you know, and it's got one page of Bible story. It's like a paraphrase of it, you know. And so we've read through like the whole thing. She's 3 years old and already read through the Bible. So she, but every night she wants to, and I think it's just to extend the bedtime routine. She's like, I want to read the Bible. I want to read the Bible. I'm like, oh, we already read that. You know, it's time for bed. But one more story. And the story that she always wants to read is about Samuel. She always likes to read Samuel. And so the story goes like this in the little children's version, that Samuel went to bed one night and he heard someone call his name, Samuel. So he ran to Eli and he said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, I did not call you." And in the little paraphrase, it says, okay, shake your head, no. Everybody do it. No. And so Adelie goes, "No, I not call you. No, I not call you." Shake your head. So he goes and he goes back to bed and he lays down and he hears the voice again, Samuel. He runs to Eli. "Hey, did you call me?" That happens 3 times. Finally, Eli gets wise and says, "Hey, next time, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So I always tell her to say, "Hey, say, yes, Lord, I'm listening." You can say that. "Yes, Lord, I'm listening.
Yes, Lord, I'm listening."
Yes, Lord, I'm listening. Go ahead and prime yourself to be available to hear from him. But she always wants to hear that story. And so it goes on to say that from that moment on, Samuel was a prophet for God. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord and he spoke on God's behalf. All right. The New Living Translation of 1 Samuel 3:19 says, "As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable." That's pretty good. Everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. Why? Because he was listening to the voice of the Lord and he was speaking what the Lord had told him to speak. Oh, that everything we say would prove to be reliable. Amen. But no, we have a bad case of spiritual ADD when it comes to listening to the voice of God. You guys know what that is? Oh, a squirrel. Okay, sorry. Spiritual attention deficit disorder. I read today, actually I read yesterday, that the average attention span for the notoriously ill-focused goldfish is 9 seconds. 9 seconds, okay? Goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. But according to a new study from Microsoft, people now generally lose concentration after 8 seconds. Highlighting the effects of an increasingly digitalized lifestyle on the brain. This was Time Magazine in May 2015. Congratulations, you now have less of an attention span than a goldfish. Yay! In our day and time, we think, oh man, we're already set up for failure, so why deal with it? Why bother? If I can't keep somebody's attention for 8 seconds, man. But it's distractions, right? We all have these. We all have these, and these things that prevent us from giving full attention to God. Our attention span when it comes to Him has been limited by us. What are we giving attention to? Okay, yeah, but every time I try to go and pray, my kids are with me and they're distracting me. Well, bring a set of headphones and say, kids, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. I'm going to give full attention. I don't know what you're going to do in these moments, but I choose to give my attention to this. You see, it never fails in my house. I don't know if it's like this in your house with the couples, and you guys are married. You've been married for a long time. But you have a daughter, right? It probably was like this a little bit early on. Now she doesn't want to get in your space. She's off on her own. She's a teenager. A teenager yet? All right. So they still... I'll talk to you for a second. Even when they're 19 and 20. So it never fails. When I want to have a conversation with my betrothed, my beloved wife, the kids are, mind you, at this moment, they're in their own world. You know, they're playing, they're doing something. But whenever we start to talk about anything serious or remotely lovey-dovey, they, boom, there they are. But where did you come from? Like you were in your room like 2 seconds ago. Now you're asking me tons of questions. What's for dinner? What's for dessert? What's for dessert after dessert? What? Can we go somewhere? I want juice. Whatever reason she gets possessed when she says, I want juice. Okay. So you can gather that there are a few distractions when it comes to having a conversation with my wife. I could use that as an excuse and say, well, I'm never going to have a conversation again. Well, I'll just wait till the kids are out of the house. Then we can pick back up where we left off. I don't think it works that way. But it's in those moments that I'm not able to give my full attention to my spouse. But are there other moments that maybe it's date night? We have the opportunity to give each other our full attention. We're out at dinner, but we're at Buffalo Wild Wings and the sports are on the TV, but I don't care about sports, but there was a really good play on there that just got my attention for a second. You see, there's always going to be distractions. There's going to be distractions in your relationship with God. I've often wondered, though, like, how do we deal with these distractions? You know, there was a season, a couple months in the church several years ago where, man, like dozens and dozens of people were getting up in the middle of the service to go to the bathroom. Like the services were, most of the time, they were shorter than, they were like an hour and a half on the dot for Sunday morning. Because this was when we had two services. So one of them was even shorter. But dozens of people get up to use the restroom and we're like, where are they going? And I know those same people can sit through a two-hour movie without any bladder issues and they've already had soda and popcorn the whole time. You can control your attention, what you give your attention to. Can't you? Oh, but I'm so bored. I'm so bored at church. That preacher, man, he can only keep my attention for 8 seconds. Wait, there's a crackling in the speakers. Oh, I'm gone. I'm thinking about tomorrow. I gotta get home and work on this homework. You have the capability to pay attention. You have the capability to live near, to draw near, to change your proximity. You have an issue hearing or paying attention? Move. Even in church, man, we get stuck in the same seat. Kyle, you sit there every Sunday, every Wednesday, man. Move. You got a problem paying attention? Get up. Sit right here and see if you have a problem paying attention. I have not lost anybody's attention on the front row yet. I don't know where your mind's at, Carol, but at least your head's nodding. You're locked in. Shake it up, man. Change it up. You can't hear? Get closer. This is just, you know, and that's just analogy-wise. But it can happen in your personal relationship with Christ, your personal relationship with God. Switch it up, man. I can't stay awake when I'm trying to read the Bible at night. Read in the morning. And read at night if it's going to help you fall asleep. Good. So I'm taking the sleeping pills. I mean, if it works, it works, man. So get closer. Shake it up. Change things up. Amen? Now, I want to differentiate between proximity and position, okay? Because we say around here that you can never get any closer in position than you already are with Christ. Like, you're with him, you're in him, you're seated with him in heavenly places. Your position never changes regardless of your proximity. Let's get that straight. Okay? I'll illustrate with a couple of stories from the Bible. Is that okay? Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was still the son. Did his position in the family change even though he went to a far off country? His behavior was crazy. He gave everything up for few cheap thrills. Proximity wise, he was far from his father. Matter of fact, his father didn't even know where the son was. But he never said, well, I only got one son now. No, what did he do, man? He's sitting on the porch every day. Today's the day. Today's got to be the day. Because I've been speaking over this son. He's going to follow God all the days of his life. He'll never leave. He's coming back. He's never given up on him. His position in the household never changed. We know that because when he came back, he put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, sandals on his feet, threw a party for him. Your position, you've always been my son. So your position isn't determined by your proximity. Amen. Let's read that, Ephesians 2. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us, listen to this. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So your position has nothing to do with your proximity. Did you do something to get up there in the heavenly realms? Or was it a result of his incredible wealth of grace and kindness towards you? Did you work to raise yourself up to the heavenly places? Or was it a work of Christ in you, and you just agreed to it? You got on board and said, yeah, I want this. And so it would stand to reason that your position can't change as a result of your proximity. Now, your intimacy is going to change. God will never love you any less because you're far from him. His love for you is constant. It never gives up. It never runs out. Amen? You always have a position in his family as a son and a daughter. But your intimacy is going to be affected by your proximity. You're not going to... He's going to be speaking. He's going to be calling out your name. Son, I got something for you. Look at all these blessings I have available for you. I want you to live the abundant life. This is John 10, where he talks about the abundant life, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Would you agree that as a result of the prodigal son going off to a far-off country, the thief had the ability to steal, kill, and destroy in his life? I'm not saying that bad things aren't going to happen if you're holed up in the compound. You know what I mean? But I'm saying at the far-off country, life isn't as abundant as it is in close proximity with Christ. In that, in John chapter 10, a few minutes, but just back up there. John 10, 10, we know, is about the abundant life. John 10, verse 3 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. It's all connected, guys. Proximity is connected to us experiencing the abundant life in Christ that he already made available for us to live. But yet we're allowed the spiritual ADD to just take us off into a different direction, and before you know it, we're off in a far off country. How did we get here? One distraction after another. Before we shook ourselves out and said, wait a minute, the servants are eating better than I am. This is no kind of life for me. Now that's an extreme example, but before you get there, why don't you deal with the distractions that are in front of you here? Amen? I want to tell you that you can train your ear. You can. You can train your ear to listen closely. You can train your ear to give attention. I'll tell you a story. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, there was a young man that applied for a job as a Morse code operator. So he answered an ad in the newspaper, and he shows up at the office where they're conducting the interviews, and the office was so busy, man, as the clatter of noise as most like busy offices are, even the Morse code was playing the whole time. And so there's seven other applicants there at the job, and they're waiting for a while. They come in, they get a form at the front desk and said, hey, you know, when we call you, you can come back in. So seven other guys go in, and then this young guy, he comes walking in, and he picks up his application, and then he sits down and he has a seat, and then in a moment he gets up and he walks over to the interviewer's office, and the other guys are looking around like, what's this guy doing, man? We were here first. What does he think he's doing? So he walks in. The next thing you know, the supervisor comes out with this guy and says, guys, the job's been filled. He's got it. And they're disgruntled. They're like, what's going on? We were here first. Why didn't we get a chance to interview? The employer said, I'm sorry, but all the time that you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it, but this guy did, so the job is his. The guy had trained his ear to hear Morse code. That's what they were looking for. You can train your ear to hear the voice of God, to give attention to the voice of God. As a musician, I've developed my ear to play the guitar. I play the guitar by ear. I don't read music. I can't read music. I don't have any desire to read music. It seems boring to me. Sorry. But I've trained my ear. When I first picked up the guitar, I didn't know as much as I knew now. My ear wasn't as developed as it was now. A matter of fact, if you heard me sing when I was 15 years old, you would be like, oh man, that guy's crap. He has no future in singing whatsoever. He's horrible. Hit your buzzer on America's Got Talent. But the more I used what ability I had, my ability increased. And so, fellow musicians or singers, you guys would get this, but in listening to a song, do you hear the song as a song as a whole, or do you hear the song as a collection of instruments doing their parts coming together? Example, years ago when we're charting music, we're making chord charts and saying, this is the key that the song is in, this is the chord you play at this point and this point. And I would have the team, and I still do this, I get the team, like I send you the song that we're going to do, and you need to listen to it. But the person who's playing the drums is going to listen to it differently than the person who's playing the piano. Why? TJ understands this. TJ, when he listens to a song, he's not necessarily picking out the melody of the song or the chords that they're playing, but he's listening intently for the beat that the drummer's playing so that he can mimic the patterns and the rhythm. So, in essence, he's trained his ear to hear that. When you listen to music, for the most part, you're just, you know, if you like the beat, you like the sound, you may like the words, you may not like the words, you may not even know what the words are. Now, I've trained my ear to hear and pick out. I can, you know, pick out a certain note. You know, if I have my guitar in my hand, I can tell you, I can play my guitar along with a piece of music, a song, MP3 or whatever, and play it in the same key if I have my guitar. But if I were just listening to that piece of music without my guitar to play with, I couldn't tell you what key that song is in. But there are people who have trained their ears so well that they can pick out a single note, 88 keys on the keyboard. They can pick out a single note by hearing it one time. Christina's probably like this. She's boss. Neil Osmond, who played guitar for us, I could play for him a 15-second clip of a guitar solo, and I kid you not, in no time, he's heard it one time, he picks it out note for note. It's genius. Why? Why is he such a big, better guitar player than I am? Because he's developed his ear and his fingers to match. He's trained himself to hear what he needs to hear to play his instrument. Now, some of you may not relate to that, but I want to tell you that you can train your ear to hear things just as much as you can train your ear not to hear things. You can tune stuff out, can't you? Oh man, I'm getting so good at tuning Nolan out when he's crying in the middle of the night. Guys. Oh, she's watching. I hear him. But I pretend I'm asleep. Somebody said that we should have named him Metropolis, so that in the middle of the night, Kristen would elbow me and said, "Honey, Metropolis needs you." I would jump into my Superman outfit and save the day. But alas, he did not get that name. But you can train your ear, can't you? You know this. You can train your ear to shut out things, or you can train your ear to tune into things. You can and you should. Give attention. Listen closely. So as we endeavor, we've got another 11 days of prayer. Listen closely. Not just over these next 11 days and not just at 6 o'clock in the evening. Be ready to hear his voice at any moment of the day. Even if it's 3 a.m. and your son has woken you up but you're pretending to be asleep. He can speak to you. He can. And you should expect him to. As you lean in, as you give your attention to him, as you snap out of the 8-second cycle and give attention to his voice on the inside, reading his written word. What are you saying to me during in this? And read it over and over and over and memorize it, meditate on it. What are you saying to me? And then what do you do when you hear? You do just as he did in John 10, the sheep. You follow. You follow. You go where he leads. You do what he says. You answer with a resounding yes. Whatever your will is, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you speak to me, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Wherever you tell me to go, yes, Lord, I'll go. John, you guys going out on outreach on Saturday? Are you just picking them all? Or are you asking him, where do you want me to go? You ask him. And you go where he sends you. Because he's got divine appointments for you. Have you gotten into such a routine to just go into the grocery store that's closest to your house? Maybe the Lord wants to send you across town because he's got somebody for you to minister to over there. But we go through the motions, don't we? Go in the routines. We don't even listen to his voice about little decisions, big decisions, whatever it is. You're like, I got this one. I can handle this one. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go hyper-spiritual and, you know, instead of consulting your calendar, you say, let me pray about that every time somebody asks you if you're going to do something, you know. You can go to the extreme with that. If you got a peace, you got a green light, do it. Take a step in the right direction. But you can tune your ear to hear the voice of God, and you can train your ear to do it. So wake up. Snap out of it. You're better than a goldfish. It's my next hit song. Stand to your feet. We will pray together. Better than a goldfish. Yeah, it's still a work in progress indeed. There's still some more training in my ear to do with that one. We'll see what happens. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that it would speak to us and has spoken to us exactly where we need it the most. May we put it into practice in our lives. Lean in, listen closely, follow where you lead us. And Holy Spirit, over the next months, weeks, months, years, the rest of our lives, will intently pay attention and lean in and listen closely to you as you speak to us, and we'll follow you, not just be hearers only, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.